Coming back to present realities. I think all these things that happen and are happening and will happen in the world should make us people that have all the more a hunger for the precious Word of God. You know, I'd like to just say this prefacing remark that with all of the different ideas, especially from me, I guess, that we have on Bible study, yet the really important thing is going to be what we do when we go from here. And it all boils down to whether we're going to be those that actually do it or not. I think the pattern and the methods are important, but more important than that is, are you going to do it when you get back to your area, wherever you are? So may the Lord make us doers of the word and not hearers only. I'd like to just go back to the immanent truth for a minute and make this statement that might help to clarify some questions you have. I thought of this, that if we don't write on the immanent truth, it would be well to write a paragraph or two on what the immanent truth is, and then say, however, I'm going to write about this truth. I think that might help to clarify the fact that we can take an immanent truth rather than the immanent truth and develop it. But to help us become more familiar with what the immanent truth actually is, to write just a paragraph or so on what we think it is, even though we don't develop it. On the same line in regards to the immanent, this wouldn't be in so much in relation to the immanent truth, but someone asked if this type study works in the Old Testament, Advanced ABC. And I found that it does. And when I was overseas, I wanted to study the book of Nehemiah. So I began in the first chapter, but I found that I needed more of a background for what had happened before that. So I thought, well, I better take Ezra. So I went back and started in Ezra, but I found that I needed some more background, so I went back to the last chapter of 2 Chronicles, the 36th chapter, which describes the captivity of Israel, and found out what the circumstances were about their going into captivity, and then from that last chapter went into Ezra. I haven't got to Nehemiah yet, but it does work, and it's a real blessing in studying the Old Testament in this type of study. This morning, the main thing we want to talk about is the application.
Can I ask a question before I come to another thought?
Okay, Bill. Yeah, that's a good point. the question is, if anybody's listening in here, there are some people around, I find, that listen in. The question was what books would we perhaps recommend to start out on? Back in the old Corps in the explanation, they started you out in the Gospel of John. But however, I like to start people out, and I think this is the general consensus, to start a person out in shorter books. And start people out, generally speaking, in 1 Thessalonians, Paul's first follow-up letter, or 1 John, or Philippians, some of those shorter books before going into a longer one like Romans or the books of Corinthians or any of the Gospels. And I don't think, unless circumstances in your area force you into it, that you should go into a long book for quite a while. Because there's a real sense of accomplishment in doing these shorter books. And those are the books I would probably recommend, or I would start our own people out on. In Japan, we start people out on that order. We have a modified STS where we ask the questions for them. We go into 1 Thess, 1 John, and then Philippians. Any comments or questions on that point? Well, I don't know. Just maybe if you're going through 1 John, go into 2 and 3 John. That's a lot of fun. Real sense of accomplishment. And but maybe 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus and Philemon. But unless you have a group you're leading or in a group that's in another book, you see, if you have that choice, I think it's good to get the hang of it on those shorter books. Yes, I think we should. I don't like to use the word master, but really get a grasp on the New Testament before we go into the Old. All right, is there anything else that's pertinent on this point? All right, let's go into the application. As I think of the application, I think of Psalm 51:6, where the Lord said, "Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom." And in this matter of the application, I think that of anything that the Lord wants of us is a truthful, open heart in regards to this application. And I think there's three things we should do before writing on this application. The first one is to pray. The second is to pray. And the third is to pray. And especially if you can't find one, then pray. Because I believe that God is faithful and that He's waiting for us week by week to deal with us on our personal life to make a real change. And may I say this too, that I think of the application oftentimes as a confession. Maybe I can bring more about this in later as we go into some of these points, but I often think of it as a confession before the Lord. And I think also of 1 Corinthians 11, 31, and 32. That if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. And if we do not judge ourselves and search our hearts before Him, then He must do it for us. And sometimes I think of the application as a weekly revival. A weekly revival. And we oftentimes, I think this is a general point of the navigators, make light of revival meetings where a lot of people come forward and get things right. And yet, you know, we would need the same thing. Maybe we need it anyway, unless we get it here week by week from the Lord. And a lot of the people that do go forward in these meetings, the reason is that they're not in the Word week by week or month by month. And these commandments of the Lord stack up, and the disobedience stacks up, and then there comes a tremendous conviction and a going forward in a meeting, and God deals with it in His faithfulness. But then so often, because they're not taught, they have to wait for the next revival meeting, maybe several months later, to get these things cleared up. Whereas this is a revival from the Lord week by week to clear up these points as they come up in our lives. I'd like to read something that a man wrote that I think is right along the lines of an application in the Bible study. He says, do not read, but I'll add, do not read or study the Bible merely as a detached spectator or inquiring student whose only concern is to know what it contains. That's what we would get in the point or the final study and some of the things that go with it. Regard it rather as a looking glass in which one can, by God's help, see both the man one is and the man one is meant to become as a child of God. Look first in it for the things which directly bear on your own needs and problems, failures and temptations, responsibilities and duties. Be prepared seriously and sincerely to ask and to face the answer to such questions as, what has God to say to me today through this passage? What may I learn here concerning daily life and how to live it to please God? In your study of the Bible, expect to find yourself confronted over and over again with imperatives which demand active obedience and diligent and steadfast continuance in well-doing, and strive by the help of God to show your love to Him by keeping His commandments. The man that wrote that was Alan M. Stibbs. And another man wrote this: read the Bible not as a newspaper, but as a letter from home. Read the Bible as if a cluster of heavenly fruit hangs within reach, and then gather it. If a promise lies upon the page as a blank check, cash it. If a prayer is recorded, appropriate it, and launch it I punched the hole, I mean, There's a punch there. I don't know what it says. If a prayer is recorded, appropriate it and launch it as a feathered arrow from the bow of your desire. If an example of holiness gleams before you, ask God to do as much for you. This next sentence is a bit, I'll read it, and I hope you can interpret it. But it has some real things in it. If a truth is revealed in all its intrinsic splendor, entreat that its brilliance may ever irradiate the hemisphere of your life like a star. That means, in short, get down to business, bud. Entwine the climbing creepers of holy desire around the latticework of Scripture. So shall you come to say with the psalmist, O, how I love thy law, it is my meditation all the day. I think those are good statements to help us to realize what the Lord wants in our lives as we come to this application. The next point is always choose the application hardest on yourself. Usually when I read the word and study it, I can find any number of things that God wants to speak to me about. Let's say there's three or four things in there. And I usually know which one he wants to speak to me about the most, because that's the one that I kind of slip into the background and say, here's one that I'd rather write on. But if we make it the rule of our life to take the hardest one that's on ourselves, I think it's a good rule, and God can really get down to business with us. The next point, which is very important, is that the application is to be written to God primarily. It's to be done to God primarily. It can be profitable to men, and it can challenge them, but it is not written for the sake of someone who might read it or hear it later. That can make all the difference in the world in your application. And you have you reserve the right at any time to say, I don't care to read my application or for anyone to read it if you have them corrected. Like, that should be a rule. So it's to be done to the Lord primarily. And this is God and you, a vertical relationship. It may, as I said, result in a horizontal something that he deals with you on, but primarily it's between you and him. Then the next point, let God deal with one point. Be specific with God, and he'll be specific with you. So often we write out a long string of things, but in doing so we are just talking about generalities. Well, I need to pray, and I need to have more love in my heart, and I need to be bolder in my witness and all that. Well, let's just take one of those things and deal with it before God. Let him deal with it. And then you'll be surprised at how many of these other things clear up as you let God deal at this one thing that he wants to get at especially. The next point should be written in the first person singular. This is not to be a sermon, but it's a sermon to you, from you, but it's to be written in the first person singular. You can preach in the immanent truth but to others, but let this be first person singular to you. Then the next point is that this application can come from one verse, a part of a verse, or the whole chapter. And I suggest putting the whatever it comes from at the start of the page, where you have an anchor to launch out from. We do not build doctrine or develop doctrine from the application, because that's how people get off on a tangent. They take a verse or part of a verse or an isolated portion, and they begin to think that that everybody else must have the same experience in relation to this one little portion. But that's not the way we develop doctrine, and this can only be, I think, for the application. Next point, use as much space as you need. And then the next point, I don't know the numbers on these, but I'll just put it that way. I think an application can be broken down into roughly three main phases. I'd like to share those with you. Number one would be to state the challenge from the Word. Number two, state your need or failure, and under that a specific incident. And then number three, state what God wants to do about it in your life. Now, you know, on this matter of the specific incident, I found that sometimes I'll read somebody's and I'll say, well, now, you're having a trouble with your tongue and your attitude. Well, just what do you mean by that? Maybe I can help you. And so then they'll go on and they'll state, well, even yesterday I was with so-and-so, and such-and-such came up, and I said such-and-such, and so forth. I think that's what should be written down, just what you would tell someone else. On that third point, there's a lot of questions on this, I know, that come up. On what we believe God wants us to do about an application. Now, this is a very, this is a point, I believe, where you have to determine a very tender relationship with the Lord. And this is a point where you can get off by keeping in mind that you're going to share this with others in a group. I think some people, and I know I've been guilty of this, I know we're going to come together and share these things, so I want to be very humble. And so I list out all these things that I'm going to do about it. But for that reason, I end up never doing any of them. Because they weren't from the Lord, they were just something to please men. So be very careful about what you're going to do about it, and you better make sure that this is from God, and that if it is from God, He will supply the grace to do it. But if it isn't, then you'll just go in your own strength and it won't be accomplished. And then I would say this on that point, that sometimes, and especially recently in my life, I found that there isn't anything I can do about it. And therefore it just becomes a confession before the Lord. Just a confession. And I think my one before last was just simply a confession of sin. Not going into all the gory details, but and be careful there too. There's a balance on being specific, but just a confession. And I felt even as I confessed it, I believed on the basis of His word that I was cleansed, washed in His precious blood. So there was no more, there's nothing else to do about it. All clean. So that is a fine point and a danger point. And if you're having that trouble of always writing out things that you never do, well, maybe you should consider some of these things that we just talked about.